Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for
Rivalry Radio!
Rivalry Radio.
On Rivalry Sports and Entertainment Network. It is approximately 7 o'clock, and we're ready to go. It's I'm Mike, and on the other side, filling in for Rich is Peter Wiseman. And you know what? It's what everybody has been waiting for. In when it comes to the sports world, NBA Finals, NHL Stanley Cup Finals in hockey, Major League Baseball continues their season. But I would just like to start off with the NBA Finals. And obviously, you know, you wake me up because the Finals are finally here after, you know, the cakewalk that the Warriors and Cavs both had on their way to the NBA Finals. It's finally here. Hopefully, it's a good series, but I still think the Warriors ruined it because I don't see the Cavs winning more than two games. Let's just say this. The pressure, all of the pressure should be on Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is the one. He wanted this. Let's just say Kevin Durant wanted all of this. He was on a team that was one win away from the NBA Finals last year. They had a 3-1 lead over the Warriors, over this Warriors team last year. And that was absolutely a team that could have, and they would have competed with the Cavs for the for the NBA title. I don't know if they would have won it or not. I don't think they would have won it, but they would have at least had the kind of team that could at least compete with the Cleveland Cavaliers in last year's finals. Instead, he decided, let's go to the team that, and you know what? Let's make this a little bit easier, because to me, the Golden State Warriors run as Steph Curry goes. As Steph Curry is making his ridiculous threes, that's how they go by Steph Curry. If Steph Curry is making his shots, Klay Thompson is making his threes, that's where the Golden State's energy comes from. That's what they run on. And for Kevin Durant, as big of a superstar as he is, he's a great player. He is a top three player, in my opinion, in this game. And to want to be on a team that is already championship caliber, that went to back-to-back titles, is mind-boggling to me to begin with. He has to be the reason that the Golden State Warriors win this finals. He can't just be another piece to the puzzle. He has to be the guy, do you really consider this to be like Kevin Durant's moment? I mean, I don't know about that. What about you, Pete?
I think so. I think it is, actually. Because what we have here in the NBA right now is we have a guy in LeBron James that everybody thinks is the best player now and the best player in the world. And some are even starting to say that he's so far past Michael Jordan that it's not even a conversation anymore. But the guy hasn't done half of the stuff that Michael Jordan has done, and he's done it, what he has done, he's done in a way weaker league. And you got a guy now like Durant who might not be the all-around player that LeBron James is, but he is one hell of a scorer, and I think we're going to see how much they match up against each other. Now, like you mentioned, it's a little unfair because Durant has all that firepower around him, but LeBron's got a lot of depth around him. And so I think it kind of evens out, and I think in the long run we're going to see who is the better player.
I don't believe so.
And
The thing is, all right, in the NBA playoffs, in the NBA finals, you know what, the stars are the ones that take over the game. Obviously, the bench can make a big difference, but at the end of the day, the guys who are scoring 25 to 30-plus points a game are the guys who really make their mark. If you have four guys who can put that kind of mark on the game, I mean, Draymond Green isn't going to score 25-plus a game, but he does everything else. He's the guy who does the dirty work. He gets rebounds. He assists. He can score himself.
Did you watch the finals last year? Did you watch the finals
what
last
was that?
Year? The guys that were important? If you watched the finals last year, the guys that were important were Sean Livingston and all these other – I mean, yes, the stars did their part, but the games were decided by the benches. And it's going to be that way again. I mean, that's common knowledge in the finals that your benches, I mean, the stars set the tone and set the table, but the benches is what wins finals. If you remember back, all of these players that are big names now, and some have even gone on to other teams, they made their marks by coming through as no names in the finals. So I think that that does give LeBron James a lot of help because they do. I mean, they got guys like Shumpert, that you don't even see that often, and he can come in and he can hang. He hung with the Celtics, and he actually embarrassed them off of the bench. He's a very good player and someone who could have a big effect in this game. And you can go on down the list, and LeBron James has that kind of those guys around him. Now, Golden State we know has the stars, and I think Durant is going to show that he's every bit the player that James is, at least on the offensive side. I think it's going to be a great series. I agree with you, though, that it does rest on his shoulders, and his reputation could fall back on what happens in these next however many games.
And if you were to list the top five out of NBA players, both Durant and Curry would probably both appear on those lists. And you know what? Okay, last year, I mean, the Warriors, a lot of people are pointing out, you know, obviously Draymond was suspended. But at the same time, obviously, Steph Curry, there was obviously an injury there. But in the last two finals, Steph Curry really, he hasn't been that consistent player in the finals the last 2 years. He hasn't been the same come finals time. If he can step up too, I mean, when Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are hitting their shots and add Kevin Durant in there, I mean, I don't see a team on earth that can stop that. I think I consider that game over if all three of those guys are hitting. So let's say the Warriors are the kind of team that can come in and run you out of the building on any given day. And I don't see the Cavs as the same team. I think obviously LeBron James can do that and Kyrie Irving can do that. Outside of that, I don't see that. I don't see that kind of, you know, Kevin Love is the kind of, he's the kind of guy who needs to step up this year after the last couple of years. Because when Kevin Love plays well, how much better the Cavaliers are, when he's not playing well and Draymond Green has his number. When they play, it seems like Draymond has Kevin Love's number. If Kevin Love can play well, then we got a whole different conversation. But if he doesn't, and it's 4-on-2, and I mean, you know what? Obviously, if you take, you know, obviously the benches, the Warriors have a good bench too. So Sean Livingston and Iguodala and all these. I mean, they have solid guys who can come off the bench too. So if the Warriors are hitting their shots, their stars are hitting their shots, and you have a pretty quality bench there, I don't see you know, I thought the Warriors were a better team last year, and that was without Kevin Durant.
Right, and, yeah, I'm not arguing the Warriors having a great bench because that's obvious that they do. I just think most of the focus is going to be on the main four because, obviously, you don't need a bench. There's not much of one when you have that. But I think the thing that is, if there is an equalizer, it's that everybody that's ever had any kind of a name, made any kind of a name themselves in the NBA that was just hanging out, LeBron James has added them to his team. So he's got a lot of people that aren't necessarily as talented as they used to be, but when you got a sharpshooter like Korver, who wasn't even with him in the beginning of the year, and this guy can come in and make a difference for him, you know, he if there's anybody that can shoot, that can compare at all with Steph Curry, Korver can be one of those guys, and he could maybe equalize it a little bit. But I agree with you. I think it's leaning heavily in the Warriors' favor. I mean, if you think about it, the Warriors destroyed Cleveland last year. And then Cleveland snuck back in. But they destroyed them. They ate them alive, and people forget that. And they think that somehow Cleveland is better. But the Warriors just fell apart at the end. But in the beginning, they destroyed them. And I think that that's – unless something crazy happens again, like Draymond Green getting suspended, you know, I think it's going to be another destruction.
I think – and I agree. That's what it should be. I mean, last year, like you said, the – Warriors were the better team. I thought the Warriors were the better team, and they got off to a 3-1 lead. And this is what bothered me so much over the off season. When you're a 70, you're just coming off a 73 win season. You're one win away from the NBA Finals, and then you add Kevin Durant. People, I don't think people are understanding what kind of leap that is talent-wise. It isn't even that, like, that's off the charts. Like, to have a team that dominated last year, like, for the most part, like, they obviously, you know, they won 73 games. I mean, they were wondering if the Warriors were ever going to lose last year. And then to add Kevin Durant after that, people aren't getting – it's not like they added some, like, you know, oh, we need one more quality piece. And they added, like, a solid guy to come off the bench or, like, you know, they got some – you know, they added some, like, quality piece. They got a top three player in the world to add to that.
Right.
Like, that just doesn't – I just don't get that. People are like, oh, well, I mean, no. The Cavs should still win this year. They should still win because they have the best player in the world. When you have the best team and then you add Kevin Durant to that team, how happy will
right.
still be like that just doesn't make sense to me. I just don't I'll never understand some people's mindsets on that. If LeBron James and Kyrie Irving are able to pull this off, I don't even – to be honest with you, I'm not one of those people who thinks that LeBron has already surpassed Jordan or anything like that. But to me, if they're able to pull this off against this team, it's kind of hard to even argue that they're not in the same conversation to me.
Absolutely, and I think the only thing that would keep them from being in that conversation, if you weigh out what the competition in the league is like right now and what that says about, you know, the players in it. Because in my opinion, the league right now isn't anything compared to what it was back when Jordan was playing. But people will argue that. But in my opinion, yes, if LeBron and Kyrie can pull this off right now, then you got to start talking about them with the same respect that you do, you know, those older Bulls teams. But, I agree with you. I think I think that adding Durant would – I agree with what you're saying, but I think that team, like you said, they didn't think that they were going to lose. People last year didn't think the Warriors were going to lose. So how much better can a team that barely ever lost actually be? So I don't think Durant necessarily makes them better talent-wise. They were already almost maxed out. But what he does is make it so that if Klay Thompson or Draymond Green or Steph Curry have a bad game, there's someone there to carry the load. So no matter what, two guys can have a bad game. Steph Curry and Kevin Durant could have a bad game, and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green could still carry the load, and vice versa. But when you got all four of them playing, you know, on point and playing their best ball, this team is going to be ridiculous. And I think they're going to show it, and I think they've been saving it up for this point. I mean, they've gone through the season kind of on cruise control, on autopilot, and they're still the best team in the league and coasted through the playoffs. And now I don't think they're going to be on autopilot anymore. I think they're going to bring it, and I think we're going to see how good these guys really are. And I think we're going to see how good Kevin Durant really is. And I think after this series, we might be talking about LeBron James.
Well, I mean, the thing is what you just said is why I have trouble putting Kevin Durant up with LeBron James. The thing is let's say Kevin Durant doesn't have great of a day, and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson go nuts, but the Warriors still win the series. Like, let's say Kevin Durant,
right.
I feel like Kevin Durant almost doesn't want all that responsibility. He's looking like, you know what, Curry, Thompson, I don't really, you know, I don't necessarily need to be great in order for us to win. And that's the thing, is if Kevin Durant doesn't have a great series, let's say he doesn't have an incredible series, but they still win because they were probably, I thought they were going to win this year anyway. So to say that, that Kevin Durant is on that same level, I don't see that. I thought that if KD and Russell had gone off and won last year, he were to have stayed there, and we would have a completely different conversation, which they could have last year. They could have
I hate to interrupt you, but you made a brilliant point that nobody is talking about. You made a brilliant point. Okay, so we're saying that KD was bad for going to the Warriors. He should have won it on his own, right?
Yes.
Why can't he have won it with Westbrook? Why did he have to go join forces with Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green? Why did he have to do that? Why did LeBron have to go and find the guys he did? Why did he have to find Wade? Why did he have to find Bosch? Why did he have to find Love? Why did he have to find Kyrie? Because on his own, LeBron is not that good. LeBron can't win champions. He can't win championships even with those guys. He's still losing.
Wait. Hold on. But we're back. Okay, now we're back.
It's the same scenario.
No, it's not. No,
it's the same scenario.
Absolutely is not. It's not the same scenario. It's just like, okay. Now, LeBron James, when he was in Cleveland, did he have a Russell Westbrook or a Serge Ibaka over in Cleveland that could help you take you over the top? Anyone?
Did he win a championship?
Did they have anybody? What was that?
Did he win a championship? Did he win a championship?
No. He went. I mean, he single-handedly took a team to this. Well, you said on his own. Kevin Durant was not on his own. Kevin Durant was never on his own. He never once. Well, it was from when they went to their first finals, when they had Westbrook and Harden and Ibaka, and to that last year when he still had Westbrook, when Westbrook was even better than he was back then. Durant was never on his own. LeBron James was literally on an island in Cleveland where they lit. I mean, could you name three guys on their team from that year? Those early years.
It's irrelevant because he didn't win. Had he won, then we could say he won on his own.
You can't say it's the same. If you left a team with nobody because your organization is not helping you at all whatsoever in what was he there for like 7 years, and in all those years they get you nothing. They could really get you to that next level, to help get you to that next level. I don't blame him. Well, why not? But the thing is that Kevin Durant had guys who could help take him to that next level, but they didn't do it. That's the difference between the two.
It's not really a difference because Russell Westbrook isn't the same player when he's playing with Kevin Durant. We know the Russell Westbrook that plays without Durant, and so we think, oh, that's the same player that plays with Durant, but he's not. Russell Westbrook is a player that has to be in control. he has to be the main guy on the
Russell
floor.
Westbrook,
and if he's not,
Russell Westbrook with me and you, it doesn't matter. I'm saying Russell Westbrook, any year, is eight levels better than the second best player on Cleveland. The year that they got swept by the Spurs, when away, I think it was 2007. That makes a difference.
Right, but
it makes a difference.
But when he played with Durant, he wasn't that good. He wasn't as good.
He wasn't as good as he is right now, but he was still.
He didn't even come close to averaging a triple double.
Well, no, he was still a very good player. He was still a star. He just risen to the superstar kind of level because of the triple doubles and what he did for that team this year. But
right.
when he's playing with someone else,
he doesn't make them better. He actually detracts from the team. That's what I'm saying. That's the point there. But regardless, LeBron James didn't win championships when he was by himself, and Durant didn't win championships when he was by himself. And they both had
but
to go to teams
him,
to make
himself.
Them better.
Kevin Durant has never been by himself.
And LeBron James never
had another star before he went to Miami. Never. He never had another guy who was – what?
And with Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving, he still lost the finals. He still lost more finals than he's won. Even with all
Kyrie and Kevin Love, how many finals has he lost? Zero. Goose eggs. Nothing. They won their only finals together. I mean,
You're right. No,
they never lost.
You're right on that. Right. But he has lost with stars with him, and he's lost more than he's won. So Durant has a better winning percentage in the finals than LeBron. Most players do. LeBron has a horrible winning percentage in the finals, and he has that with stars around him.
The only finals that I pin on LeBron James is the one against Dallas. The one against Dallas, he absolutely choked that one away. They were the better team, clearly, and he choked that away. I will never going to argue that one. Outside of that, I'm not going to pin on the one on the against the Spurs. Cleveland's first one against the Spurs because nobody was going to win. If you won a game or two, that would have been a miracle. If you look at the rest of these series, the Spurs literally shot the lights out. What else? Are we going to talk about the second series. Oh, it was against the Warriors. Or the one against the Warriors a couple of years ago when he didn't have Kyrie or Kevin Love. And he was pretty much the second best player. Did you know who their second best player was on that Cavs team? Obviously Timothy Mozgov and that little point guard. Do you know that little point guard's name?
Yeah, he plays for the Bucks, and he's actually really good.
Matthew Dellavedova, who's probably the third point guard over in Dallas right now. Dellavedova.
He's actually the starter in Milwaukee, and he's actually very good, and he plays great defense, and he pumps up the crowd.
Boy.
And he actually made a name for himself.
He's a quality defensive player. He's not a scorer. Where were they coming up with any other points outside of LeBron James? If J.R. Smith is on his game, he is a very good shooter coming off the bench. That's it. Outside of that, they had nobody to score any kind of points against the Warriors team. Nobody. LeBron James isn't scoring 80 points a game to win. I'm sorry, it's just not happening. Like LeBron had what would he average 40 in that series, and we're
so
just
LeBron,
you know oh he just lost.
LeBron had
who was winning
Irving
that series
Irving last year. LeBron had Love and Irving last year and got smoked. Was behind
but
3-1.
Did they lose last year? They
did. No, they didn't lose.
They won
last
the series.
They didn't lose last. They did, but you can also say that you can also say that the Warriors collapsed, which is a lot different just than a team winning. You know, because you had to have a collapse.
Well,
LeBron
and Irving,
nobody has ever lost after going up 3-1. So that's a huge collapse on the best team of all, the best record-wise team of all time. That's a collapse. That's not one team just winning a series.
Well, I mean, you're saying, but it's the same thing where you're sitting there saying, oh, but he lost. And then they came back. You can't say that they came back and won down 3-1. I mean, I agree.
Let me
with both. The Warriors collapsed.
Right,
go ahead.
LeBron is one of those players. If you've watched LeBron, you know that he's one of those players that can score in every game. He, even in the series that they lost to Golden State, he put up a lot of points. And had one, you know, if you remember that series, it was one of the most amazing series by a single player. But he doesn't win.
Yes. Well,
he doesn't
because
win.
There was
and
no
that's
one
the
else
problem
there.
With LeBron. He's not a winner. He's not a winner. And with Kyrie, with Wade, with Bosch, with Love, he's a winner. But look at Jordan, if you want to go back to that conversation. Did he go out and have to recruit players to come with him? I mean, they brought in Dennis Rodman. But he didn't have to recruit. They built a team around him.
In this, Stop right there. They built a team around him. The organization. Look at the Lakers with Shaq and Kobe. Their organization built a team around the star.
Through the draft. Through normal processes.
But that doesn't matter. But that has nothing to do with a single player. It has everything to do with if the organization isn't going to build me a team that that I can compete with, then what am I doing here? If I'm not going to win, because you're not going to win a championship against a great team by yourself, you have to leave.
Unless
or
you're
not
Jordan.
Going to win anything. He would be always
unless you're Michael Jordan.
If Well, go ahead.
Unless you're Michael Jordan, then you just do. Unless you're Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, then you just do. They didn't have to bring in a bunch of guys to win the championship. They just did. They built it.
Michael had Pippen. Steph had Klay. No? Is that not, those aren't – I mean, Scottie Pippen's probably a top 50 player of all time. I mean, they
right.
had obviously Michael Jordan before Pippen. Before Pippen became the player that he became, where did the Bulls go? Nowhere. He needed
help. And they developed
together. He needed help.
He didn't go out and bring in Stockton and Malone. He didn't go out and get, you know,
the organization. You know what the organization built?
He didn't bring in Akeem. You know, he didn't go out and get David Robinson. He just did it with the people that were already there. And LeBron
can't
win by himself. He can't win with the normal process. He had Andrew Wiggins coming, and he didn't want Wiggins because he knew he couldn't win with Wiggins. And he knows he can't win without bringing in every player that's ever had any kind of, you know, Shumpert and all those guys. He's got to bring all of them in because he knows he can't win on his own. LeBron on a normal team is a normal player.
Okay, all right. Do individual players go out and draft guys? Do individual players build organizations? No, that's
LeBron
the
does. Guys LeBron does.
Top. Well, yes, but
LeBron
that's the
does.
Thing because his organization isn't doing it, so he has to. Is what else do you? I mean, you say that it's
he
the
wasn't
right
even.
Way. Obviously, it's the right way. But the Spurs are a great organization. The Warriors have been a great organization. I mean, these teams have been great organizations because they went out and built the team. If the Cavaliers aren't a great organization and they're not bringing guys in, like they're not drafting well, they're not putting these teams together, LeBron's going to be like, I'll do it. Fine, you guys failed the first time because we got absolutely nothing in 7 years. I will do it now. This is my turn. I'll do it for you.
Right.
So that's
and he
different.
Still does. Even with all of that, you and I are talking about the fact that they are still the second best team in the NBA. Even with all those players, even with Irving and with Love and everybody else they have around them, they're still just the second best team in the NBA. that says a lot about LeBron James. Now, if you took LeBron off of that team and you switched him with Jordan,
with Jordan. I thought you meant take LeBron off the team. If you take LeBron off that team, they're awful. Well, let me just say
But you had Jordan, and they're great. You had Jordan, and they're one of the best teams ever.
I'm not going to sit here and say that LeBron is better than Jordan. I'm not one of those people who says that LeBron's better than Jordan. That's not what I'm saying. We started with the KD and LeBron conversation. When you put Jordan in there, I'm not going to disagree with you. Like, I'm just not going to disagree with you because he's the greatest player of all time.
The only reason I brought up Jordan is to clarify that LeBron is not as good as we think he is. But because of bringing in all of these other players, he has rings. He doesn't have as many rings as he has losses, but he has rings. And that's, I think, that's something that people forget. Everybody says that winning a championship is one of the things that decides whether you're a great or not. Don't we count losses? Because if winning is important, isn't losing just as important to not do? LeBron has lost more than he's won. So in my opinion, he's actually in the negative ring column.
I'll never be one of those people who thinks that I think that winning is a team accomplishment. I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah. I think that winning is a team accomplishment. So, I mean, if anything, like when we talk about Tom Brady and we're on a similar wavelength here, it has a lot to do with your thing. But this is what I mean.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm not one of those people who says, okay, he won that many and lost zero, so that automatically makes you the greatest player ever. I've never been that. If you just don't have that great of a team, you're never going to win all those titles. So this is just that's my opinion. So it has to do with the organization, like the Spurs, for example, who they do it the right way. I agree with you on that. Oh, the organization runs it the right way. But if your organization stinks and your organization doesn't get anything done for you, then what do you you have to do it yourself, or you're just going to wind up being that, you know, that good team that just can't get over the hump. It's just the way it is. The Cleveland Cavaliers are not a well-run organization. So it's either LeBron's going to sit there and go, all right, you know what? You guys run it the way you want. I'm going to go out there and we'll see what we can pull off. Or I'm going to try to do this myself and try to build a winner myself.
I do want to say that from watching this playoffs, folks, I have actually gained respect for LeBron. The one game where they just destroyed the Celtics, his shot was so money. he could turn around any point on the court, with a guy in his face and drain a three or whatever. I mean, he was just on. I've gained a lot of respect for him from that, you know. But one of the things I really liked about that game is even though it was one of the most decisive games in NBA history, the Cavs never let up. And even when their backups came in, those guys didn't let up. And they made sure that they flushed the Celtics down. And I was impressed by that. But I don't see them bring that very often. And if they bring it against the Warriors, they could win the series. But they don't do it very often. And then in the very next game, they collapse. So
the Cavaliers, this is what I didn't like about the whole, you know, the Kyle Korver thing when they were just going out getting guys who could shoot threes. Because you know what? Obviously, you need guys who can score. But against the Warriors, you need to play physical. You need guys who can defend. If the Cavaliers have guys like Irving and Love and Korver and all these guys out there at one time, J.R. Smith, like they're not going to be able to they're going to give up like 40-plus points in a quarter. I mean, it's just that simple. They don't really have Right. They need to build a team that can defend, that can be physical and score, because you need to be able to beat the Warriors down with that. I mean, and that's the mentality the Cavs need to have. If you're trying to out-three them, you're going to get run out of the building. That's that simple.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
I don't think the way the Cavs feel like they need to just out-three them by, like, you know, guy like Korver. And, you know, I mean, to be like, oh, that's basically saying, okay, we're not going to play that much defense. We need to be able to drain threes. That's not the way to beat the Warriors if you're the Cavs.
You're not going to outsplash the Splash Brothers, especially now that they have Durant. You're just not going to do it.
No. Can't. No, that's the best shooting backcourt. Like, it's not even close.
Right.
Like, they're ridiculous.
Steph Curry is ridiculous.
What was that?
Steph Curry is ridiculous. He's just
ridiculous.
He can pull. We're not even surprised anymore when he pulls up from three quarters of the court, drains one with a normal jump shot. I'm not even talking like heaving the ball, just effortless. He's just from anywhere. I mean, we're not even surprised anymore. I hate to say it because I love the old school basketball and I love Larry Bird, but and I love Ray Allen, but this is the best shooter we've ever seen and probably will ever see. It might get better because, they're doing it a lot more now, but this guy is insane. And I'm not surprised. I'm not convinced that when Curry's on that he's not the best player in the NBA. It's just his game's not as well-rounded as LeBron. He's a little bit more one-dimensional, but guy's insane.
Yes. Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's funny because, like, people just – he'll throw off an off-balance deep three, and it's like it's effortless, and it'll go in. He's one of those guys that just say you're down, like, you're down three late in the game, and he just puts up a buzzer beater. You just – like, there are guys who will literally turn around and be like celebrating before the ball even goes in because they just know it. It's incredible. Like we've never seen anything like that. Like he'll put up, and that's why I say that his, like, Steph Curry, that they run as Steph Curry goes. If Steph Curry comes in hot, forget it. He can end the game nice and early. And forget it. I don't even want to talk. But you see, the funny thing is that people hate LeBron so much that if Durant had decided to go to Cleveland, what would happen? I think that I swear to you, there would be riots on the streets. There would be riots on the streets if Kevin Durant had decided to go to the Cavs. But since he went to the Warriors, I mean, we'll take somewhat easy on him because we secretly do. We want to see LeBron lose again. So, you know what? We'll give Durant a little bit of a pass on that because, I mean, it's the Warriors. We want to see the Warriors win. But if he had gone to the Cavs, there would be riots in the streets. There would be I don't even know. People would boycott the NBA if that was allowed.
Well, it was starting to get to that point anyways with him going to the Warriors. I think it would have been incredible to see him with the Cavs because him and LeBron would have been in very similar positions. And, two amazing scorers. Maybe he'll do that next year. You never know in the NBA anymore.
Hey.
The way they switch teams so fast.
If the Cavs win, you never know. I mean, he could go to the Cavs next year.
Right. It'd be incredible if he won, in those two different teams. But, I think the thing that I like about it is even though I'm disillusioned with the NBA right now, I think it's in a horrible situation. I think 28 of the teams are in an awful place, and two of the teams are very, very good. I'm excited about this finals, and I'm trying not to be because I still don't think that these teams are the quality of, like, I heard somebody mention them in the same breath as the Lakers and the Celtics. To me, that's absurd. I know they've played three in a row, but that's still absurd. I mean, those were teams loaded with guys that will live on forever. and maybe these guys will too at some point. But, you know, I think it's absurd. But at the same time, I'm very excited because there's a lot of drama involved here. There is a lot of very good players, possibly Hall of Famers. I know LeBron for sure. I'm thinking Curry's headed there. But it's going to be amazing. And you know, the one thing you know is this, that LeBron will not disappoint. He might not win the series, but he's going to do something that's going to make us say, holy crap, this guy is amazing.
Yep.
He does it almost every time. And that's, I think, what's so exciting about this series is I'm almost 100% sure the Cavs won't win, but I'm almost also 100% sure that LeBron will be the best, most dominant player in the series. And that's what makes me, in one sense, admire him, and in another sense, wonder if you're that great, why can't you win on a consistent basis? So, but I think that that's
because
what
one
brings
player
the Marvel
in because one player doesn't, because like we said, because one player isn't going to win against a great team. It's just not going to happen.
He has a roster full of players that were somebody at one point in their career, at least. He has a roster full of players.
We've already agreed that the Warriors are the better team, no? Have we not agreed
that
the Warriors are the better team?
They're the better starting lineup, but they're not necessarily the better team.
Those are the guys that play most of the game, though. So the starters are the ones that play most.
Right. As far as the starters, the Warriors have way by far the better starters. As far as depth, Cleveland has way better depth. But like you just said, the starters are usually, you know, what affects the beginning of the game the most, but they still have to be carried by the depth. I don't think Cleveland outweighs the imbalance of the starters. But and that's why I wonder, if LeBron is the greatest ever or one of the greatest ever, why can't he swing that back in his favor? And that's why I'm not convinced that he's, you know, in the conversation of greatest ever. He's great as an individual player, just like Russell Westbrook is great as an individual player and Jeremy Lin was great as an individual player, but they're not winners. They're not winners. And that's a whole different
thing. This is basically coming down to LeBron isn't the greatest shooter. He's not. He never has been the greatest shooter. Him at the free throw line, he's not the best at the free throw line. And he's not the best three-point shooter. He's not a very good three-point shooter. He can score. He can get to the bucket at will. He plays defense. He passes the – I mean, this is something that gets overlooked, his brilliance when it comes to passing the ball. And he can get rebounds. So it's not like he's the kind of guy who can play 1-5. You don't really see that in the – you don't really see players like that in the NBA who can actually play from point to power forward or center and, like, be able to contribute with the best of them. That you don't see that in many players, which is part of the reason why people consider him to be that great, because it's not like – he has that one, you know, like Steph Curry with his shot. When his shot starts to fade, what's he gonna be? Like they like
right.
Go ahead.
I want to ask you this because I think you're a great person to ask, and I've been wondering this while listening to people say that on national radio. You know, yes, it's amazing that like Magic Johnson, LeBron is one of the very few players that can play every position and play it well.
Yes.
But how important is that?
Mm-hmm.
That's not important. You can only play one position at a time. He can't play all five positions at a time. So that's not really an important stat. You know, yeah, a switch hitter in baseball, that's a good skill to have. But you can only bat from one side of the plate at once. And so you still have to be good at what you do. So I think making LeBron one of the best players ever and saying, you know, that because of this, nobody else is even in the conversation, I think it's utterly ridiculous because it doesn't matter
if
you can play catcher, pitcher, right field, first base, third base. You can only play one at a time. How good are you at the one you're playing now? And,
well,
you know,
that,
I understand the versatility
of
health.
versatility absolutely helps. I mean, if we want to talk about baseball, you know how much easier that makes for the coach to be able to be like, you know what? I need help over there. I want you to help me over there. I want you. You can play there. All right. You know what? I know that I have room to work with you because you're such a good defender. There. Okay. LeBron. You don't think that it's that valuable to have a guy who can score, pass the ball as well as he does, play defense. Where I mean. And rebound the ball. You don't think that's valuable that you can get to the basket?
I think it's valuable. I think it's valuable, just like Swiss. Right. I think it's valuable. I don't think it makes him that much greater than anybody else because he can only play one position at a time. Yes, the versatility of passing and all that. Yeah, I think it's amazing. I think it's really good. I think he's very talented. But I also don't think that it makes that much of a difference because, like I said, in order for LeBron to be good, he has to have all of those other players around him because he can't play all five positions. He
okay.
only plays one.
People want,
and so, you
people want to
you,
talk
you can't
about,
judge a guy and say.
All right. People want to talk about teams like, all right, you want to talk about the Cavs being this great team. Like, oh, from top to bottom, where they have such – okay. When LeBron has sat, when LeBron has not been in the lineup, when he did not play a minute in a game, what's their record? I don't think they've won a game in 2 years without LeBron. He's the kind of guy that when he's in there, they're great. When they're not, they struggle against bad teams. When people want to put Kyrie Irving up there, I think Kyrie Irving's a superstar now. Now I think he's a superstar. But, I mean, there were years past where I was like, kind of like, okay, the guy has a great handle. He's awesome. But I've seen him disappear in too many games throughout the year
right.
for me to say that he's
and
not
I can
a consistent
ex- I
superstar.
Can explain that to you very, I can explain that to you very easily because I actually watched my nephew play, and he's kind of the LeBron James of his team. He's bigger, stronger, fast, better shooter than everybody else. And when he's gone from the lineup, nobody else knows what to do because he handles the ball all the time, because he shoots the ball all the time, because he's the one passing them the ball all the time. He's a ball hog. And nobody else on
he's
the rest of the team knows what to do.
Wait.
I'm not talking about LeBron. I'm not talking about LeBron right now.
Okay. I'm sorry about that.
But it's the same kind of concept. It's the same kind of concept when LeBron comes on. Now, yeah. I just talked about like a middle schooler. Now I'm talking about a professional who's playing with other professionals. But the system is different when you take one of the best players in the league out of it, especially a guy that can do everything like LeBron. So it doesn't necessarily mean that without LeBron they're not good. It's just the system is set up for LeBron. And so when he's gone, the system is missing the player that's meant to be there in that system, directing the system, leading the system. But these guys aren't good. If you watch them against the Celtics, you see that when LeBron left the starting lineup, the team actually got better.
But how often does that go the other way? When he comes out of the lineup, it's very, very, very rare that the Cavs – I mean, if anything, the other team goes on a run because they see that LeBron came out of the game.
And that's because of the way the system is set up. No, if LeBron wasn't even on the team and they set up the system for the rest of those players, it would be a very good team. I think that they would still be a playoff-level team without LeBron. It just depends who they got to be their full-time, whatever position LeBron plays. Because one of the things when you were mentioning versatility, what makes him great is he can bring the ball down. So, in that case, he's actually playing two separate positions at once in a sense or a hybrid position.
Yes.
So that I think is great, but there's other players that can do that as well. Maybe not to the level he does, but once again, that's a system thing more than a talent thing.
But, hold on. Okay, but you're saying that the system is why the Cavs haven't played that well when LeBron sits. But – that it has nothing to do with the other guys not stepping up because, according to a lot of people, Kyrie Irving is is like a top guy, and Kevin Love can be a top guy too. So when LeBron sits, you have Kyrie and Kevin Love out there. They can't beat a mediocre team without LeBron. Neither of those guys could step up and have like a big game. They just don't know what they're doing because LeBron isn't there. Is that not more valuable? Doesn't that add to his value and not subtract it?
I'm just saying, if you mold a system around one player and then you take him out of the system, the team is going to falter. We saw it happen with Tony Romo. The system was set up for Tony Romo. He's gone. All of a sudden, the team can't even play. Romo comes back, and they're good again. It's not that the other players that weren't there weren't good or capable. It's that the system isn't set up for them. It's like the Warriors started playing well when they played small ball. Now, if you put a different team in that same small ball system, but they're not set up for it, they're not going to do as good because the system is set up for the teams that are good, like the Spurs and the Warriors, that are dominant, have a system that fits their players. They don't just have good players or a good system. They have good players that play well in a system. And I'm not saying that doesn't show that LeBron is good because he worked well in that system. But it'd be also like if you took Karl Malone out of the Jazz's triangle offense, they're not going to run it as well because that's a guy that the system is built around. And that whole team, like you even said, they built that team around LeBron. You know, it's his system, and you take him out of it, and everybody has to go like, okay, wait a minute, what do we do now? Because we're used to him bringing down the ball. We're used to him dictating who gets the shot. We're used to him saying, you know, positioning us and passing us the ball, like you said, and now you don't have that guy anymore. So, hey, let's figure out where we're at, okay? You know, and then it takes him a minute to do that. So, I agree with you that LeBron, when he's not there, everybody else should adjust. But yeah. I think that's less of a system issue or more of a system issue than a talent issue.
That they should be game, like, there should be, obviously, they're game planning before the game when LeBron isn't playing like LeBron isn't playing. You know, that they still have another game plan built there, and they should all have an idea of what they're doing. Kyrie Irving is technically, obviously LeBron is, he picks the ball up a lot, but Kyrie Irving is a point guard too. So, I mean, at the same, I don't know. I think that if those guys are really that great, that they should be toying with teams that really aren't that good. And the fact that they're not really
that great outside of the system. Kevin Love became a different kind of player when he came into the system. Irvin is a different player playing with LeBron. That's one of the things that people don't factor in as much. It's not just adding a player. It's not like Madden where you add a good player and your rating goes up. You can actually add good players and your rating goes down. Kevin Durant went to the Warriors and they lost more games than they lost without him. So, you know, because the rating doesn't just go up. It has to do with chemistry. And I think that when LeBron's there and Kevin Love struggled at first because he didn't know his place. And now that he's starting to learn his place in LeBron's system, he's doing a lot better. But in the beginning, he struggled because it was LeBron's team, and he didn't know how to play in LeBron's team. He's used to being the man. And then when LeBron's gone again, then he has to readjust to that. So, you know, with players that he's not used to being the man with. So I think it's one of the things that's so confusing about all this is people don't understand that you don't just pile in. You know, you can't just take a bunch of players that are rated 99 and put them together and expect to have a team that's 99. Because a lot of those teams actually fail because there's no chemistry. And that's the same thing that's happening here with LeBron. When LeBron is in charge, they're a better team, but, you know, they still struggle to win.
I mean, it's funny because I agree with the whole chemistry thing being more than a talent thing. But the thing is that, like I said before about the whole – series as a whole, it's to me, like you said before, with the two, like if two of the guys aren't, you know, if two of the, like, let's say KD and Draymond aren't hitting their shots, they have Klay Thompson and Steph Curry to do it. So it's kind of that's right. Almost like they can take over the game even if two of their top players aren't playing that well. Like, Klay Thompson hasn't had a good playoff. He hasn't had that to his standards. To Klay Thompson's standards,
right. He
is the best postseason. But they've dominated. Why? Because they have all guys who can take over the game at any time. So, to me, the Cavs have two guys who can take over a game at any time. The Warriors have at least two. At least three who can take over a game at any time. So, to me, that's a clear-cut advantage. And for that reason, I have
and I think the difference
going into six. Jose?
I think the difference is when Kevin Durant came in, he said one of the reasons he was excited to go to the Warriors is they all told him that they were willing to sacrifice their scoring totals for him. They didn't want to fall off, but they were willing to make him part of the family because they knew he would be a benefit to them. Now, if you listen to LeBron's old teammates, a lot of them were glad he was gone. Bosch was glad that he was gone. He was actually even very upset at him, and that can explain to you a lot of it. It's not Kyrie and Love that are the issue. It's LeBron is the issue. And when you go over to the Warriors, there's no issue because they're a family before they are a team. And that's a huge difference. Once again, not a talent issue, a chemistry issue. And I think that that's what it is. LeBron, a lot of people hate when you call him a selfish player, but he is a selfish player. All of his ex-teammates will tell you that. And if you just watch him, you can see it in his face. It's all about LeBron. And when you go over to the Warriors, it's not that way. They're a team.
But when LeBron went from the Cavs to the Heat, the Cavs were completely atrocious. When he went from the Heat to the Cavs, the Heat were not nearly as good as they were before. That's all I'm gonna say. He makes a huge difference in the outcome after years. So. I'm going to cut that off there because the show is about to end, and I can't believe we didn't get to anything else, but it was great debating. It was a great debate show, Pete. I loved it. I enjoyed it.
It's funny that we debated and we were on the same side. That's what I loved about it.
We agree on the outcome. We agree on the
right,
outcome.
Right.
Yes. I completely agree. What's the word?